Brother Orr, what a blessing. Amen. I'm glad I'm on the winning side tonight. And I hope you're glad that you are. I hope you know you're on the winning side. Amen. And this brand new year. And we're looking forward to that. Have a special blessing tonight. As Pastor said, we get to clip coupons. And we talked much last night about our college and another product of our college here is Pastor David Young, pastoring in Sandusky, Ohio. Served well here. Had a bus route for a number of years. And then graduated over, and many of you may not know this, but he grew up on the Spanish mission field and spoke Spanish pretty well. And so when we had the need, he stepped up and pastored our Spanish church there for us, and then took a church, amen, and went up and is doing a great job up there. And I asked him to come preach for us tonight. You come preach for us, Pastor David.
Thank you, brother. Well, it's a privilege to be here tonight. I thank Pastor Parsons for letting me preach, and it's nice to be down here in warm weather, this t-shirt weather, and up there, it's already snowed like 3 or 4 times, and it's already gotten down into the teens a few times, so I'm thankful that I'm here, and it's glad to see my in-laws, and but I'm just thankful to be here. Thankful for the opportunity I have to be able to preach here. It's one of my dreams to be able to preach from this pulpit, so I'm thankful for that, and thank Brother Pastor Parsons for letting me do that, and you know. You're blessed to be a part of this church, you know. It's a great church here, a lot of buses. I love bus ministry. I'm trying to start bus ministry up there where we're at. We're carpooling people. So we get to carpool people, but we're praying for a van and trying to start up some other ministries, but it's a blessing to be here tonight and be in front of y'all. But let's go to Matthew chapter 2. And Matthew chapter 2. And Matthew chapter 2. And this is kind of like a Christmas message, but it's kind of not. It's the title of my message is The Light of the World. And Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And we'll just read some verses. We'll read verses 1 through 8. The Word of God says this. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Does everybody have it?
Amen.
Okay. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he said unto them, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, and that I may come and worship him. But you know, King Herod wanted to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, you know? Evil man. But you know, the wise men, they saw the star in the east, and they were drawn to it because they'd heard the prophecies about it, and they came to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. They came to worship him. And then but they were warned in a dream not to go back the same way they came. And they didn't tell the king Herod because he wanted to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord, Joseph and Mary, they went and hid in Egypt until he died. and they came back to the land of Israel. But, you know, they were drawn to that light. And, you know, so light draws people. Light draws people. And let's go to John chapter 8, verse 12. And John chapter 8, verse 12. And read another verse over here. John chapter 8, verse 12. Says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. And, you know, the wise men, they sought the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, wise men still seek him today. And if you're wise, you would... seek the Lord Jesus Christ. If you knew what's good for you, if you know what's good for you, you will seek the Lord. And but the Bible says there in verse 12, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So God doesn't want us to walk in darkness. He wants to follow him. And if you'll follow the Lord, he'll give you light. His word will give you light. The Bible says this is a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. So, you know, you want to know how to live the Christian life. Just live life, the Christian life, and live life. The best life you can ever have is when you follow the Lord. And Jesus is the light of the Lord, of the world. Light draws people. They saw in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, they saw that great light, and they were drawn to it. The three wise, there's more than three, I believe. The world says there was three, but there's more than that. But they were drawn to the wise men were drawn by that light. And so Jesus is the light of the world. And the Bible says, you know, in John chapter 12, verse 32, I'll read it real quick. John chapter 12, verse 32. John chapter 12, verse 32. The word of God says this. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. So, you know, when you go out soul winning, all you got to do is lift him up. And people are going to be automatically drawn to him. And because he's the light of the world. And so don't worry about, you know, are people going to listen? Because most people will, because he is the light of the world. You'll have some people that might reject, but people are going to naturally listen because they're going to be drawn to that light. The light, because the Lord is the light of the world. And people naturally will want to listen. And so light draws people. And also, light can also repulse people. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And, you know, the Bible is the Bible talks about the light of the word, right? Truth is light. So light can, people can see, and the Bible talks about the Bible as like a mirror. And so when people hear the truth, they can... it can shine a light on their lives, and sometimes, and you know, some people, they don't like that. So, in John chapter 3, we'll read verses 19 through 21. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know, when you go out soul winning, there's going to be some people that, you know, they don't want to come to the light. Why? Because, you know, their deeds, the light, you know, uncovers their deeds. You know, you want to hide dirt, turn the light off. But, you know, when you go into a new house that you're you want to buy, you turn the light on, right? And, you know, so... light will shine on people's lives, and sometimes, you know, they don't like that, and so they're repulsed by it. And This is the reason why they don't come to the light. You know, King Herod was a wicked, wicked man. That's why he wanted to exterminate the light. And, you know, us as Christians, we shouldn't want to exterminate the light, you know. Here at this church, you know, you should praise God when the pastor gets up and preaches and sheds light on things. That you should say, praise the Lord. And be happy that he preaches. Because, you know, there's many churches that have turned the light off. And they don't preach the truth. And so light is a good thing. How are we supposed to get right with God if no light has ever shined on us? You know, we need the light of the word to shine on our lives so that we can see what is pleasing and what is not pleasing to the Lord, so that we can get it right with God. But don't be repulsed by the truth. You know, some people get mad and they leave church because, you know, the light was shined on their lives and they didn't like it. And, you know, some people don't get saved because the light is shown on their lives. And they love what they're doing and they want to keep doing it, and it's convicting. The light is convicting and they're like, oh, I don't want nothing to do with this. But us as Christians, you know, we shouldn't be like that. You know, we shouldn't love darkness. And, you know, there's a lot of people that run from a good church. They go to a church where they'll tickle their ears because they love their darkness. They love what they like to do. But, you know, we should praise God for this great church that we have here. And so we need to follow Jesus so that we don't walk in darkness. You know, we need to follow Jesus. And it's very important that we follow Jesus. And John chapter 8, verse 12, you know, when the preacher gets up and preaches, we shouldn't say, well, that's his opinion. Or, you know, we should say, well, if it's out of the word of God, it's good, you know. I often like to say, you know, if God wrote every little single thing that you were supposed to do and not do, this Bible that we carry would be huge. You know, like them car salesmen on TV, huge, you know. The Bible would be huge, like a huge car sale, you know. You wouldn't be able to carry it with you. So, you know, we're supposed to use the, you know, common sense, the Holy Spirit, and we're supposed to have some principles that we go by. And because, you know, so sometimes the preacher's going to get up and he might hit on something and that they didn't even have, you know, 2,000 years ago, you know. And we'll say, well, that's his opinion, you know. Well, no, how about you consider what he's saying and look into it. Have an open heart, an open mind. But many times we just jump to conclusions and we don't want to walk in the light. We reject the light. But you know, when you reject the light, you're going back into darkness. You know, your light rejected, you know, is not good. Don't reject the light. We need to follow Jesus. Just like the wise men, they were drawn to that light and they searched for that light. Wise men should still seek him. You know, if you're wise, still seek him, obey him. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, I want to have life, the light of life in my life. You know, I don't want to walk in darkness. You know, if you're saved, you have the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in your heart. And he's there to stay. You can't, he'll never leave you or forsake you, but you know, if you don't follow the truth and obey God's word, you can walk in darkness. You know, you can, but God doesn't want you to. It says in John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, you know, God wants you to walk in the light. You know, there's a song that goes, walk in the light of his word. I think there's a song that goes like that. I should stop singing songs because I always mess them up. But, you know, the Bible talks, the songs out there that say, walk in the light of his word. But the Bible says that the Bible is the light of the world. And, but there's some lost people that see the light, it shines on them and shows them how they are, and they are repulsed instead of getting right with God and getting saved. How sad. And, but us as Christians, you know, we shouldn't, When the word is preached, we should, you know, obey the word of God and get it right. And, you know, we need some old-fashioned fear of God in our churches and country. And a lot of times we think we know better than God. And, you know, some say, hear the truth, and instead of confessing their sin, they reject the light of the truth. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. There's a lot of Christians that walk around. I remember when I was in college, you know, somebody would get up and preach, and you'd have some college student get mad. Be like, where's that in the Bible? You know, well, like I said before, if everything was in the Bible you weren't supposed to do, you know, it'd be huge, you know. So, you know, God is going to use preaching, you know, and he's going to guide you, and you're supposed to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to already be walking in the light so that when more light is presented, you obey the light, and you obey right away. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, it says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. But, you know, there's a lot of Christians that they're so wise in their own eyes. They think they know better than God. And how sad. And, you know, they say, you know, when a preacher gets up and preaches about modesty, they say, oh, that's great, but, you know, we don't need that. You know? Yes, you do. You need that too. You need modesty. You know, it's for you too. And, you know, some saved hear the truth, and instead of confessing their sin, they reject the light of the truth. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says, you know, it says, he that covereth his sin shall not, his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know, we like to say, oh, you know, that's not really sin, or we don't have that problem. But, you know, nothing's ever going to be fixed in your life if you don't confess your sin, admit it before God, and walk in the light of his word. Let the word of God change you. And, you know, I wrote some things down. You know, if you reject the truth, the light of God's word, what's going to happen? Well, several things. Number one, you're not going to grow. You're not going to know the truth because you've already rejected the truth. Why should God show you anymore? You're already, you know, you're walking in darkness, you know. We need to walk in the light so that we can, God can give us more light. And also, it affects your fellowship. It affects your fellowship. It also affects your testimony. You can't be a good testimony and light to this lost world if you reject the light. You know, why should they want what you have when you're no different than, act no different than them? You know, what do you have that I want if you don't, you know, that's what they're going to say, if you don't act any different than I do. So, you know, so God wants us to be good lights and good testimonies, walk in the light. You know, I got an illustration that I use a lot. You know, there was, I used to live in Mexico, and we ended up in the tip of, down towards the end of Mexico, in this little town. It's like a village, and a couple thousand people lived there. And there was a school, a lady that was friend, not a lady, but she was a school teacher, and she had some kids that I was friends with, and they lived in this house. And so I was friends with the boy, and he took me into his room one time, and I saw his brother. And his brother was probably older than him, probably like 12, 13. He's a big kid. I was probably like 8 years old. And all he could do was just lay in bed and scream. And I said, well, what's wrong with him? You know, I was kind of sad to see him that way. He said, well, he's been like that from his birth. And I was like, sad. You know, that's adorable to see a young baby lay in bed and cry, you know, that's a baby. But, you know, a 12, 13-year-old kid just laying there screaming, that's just sad, heartbreaking. And, but, you know, God doesn't want us to stay baby Christians. You know, it's cute for a little baby to be that way and scream and cry and be a little baby, but it's not cute anymore when you've been a Christian for years and you haven't grown any and you keep being rebellious against God. That's gross. That's not good. And I know we all grow at different paces, and but you know, sometimes, a lot of times it's our fault because we won't yield ourselves to God and we won't follow the light of His Word. And so, you know, if we'll follow God and His Word, things will go smoother for us and better and a lot better. You know, Psalms chapter 1, let's go to Psalms chapter 1 real quick. Psalms chapter 1, it says, the Word of God says this, it says, and Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, I'll read six verses here. I'd rather walk in the counsel of the Lord than the counsel of the world. It's the Word of God says this. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drive away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, in the judgment nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. But, you know, blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of... blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, God wants you to walk in His counsel. It's going to go good for you if you will. You won't go wrong listening to God. You won't go wrong giving God the benefit of the doubt, like Pastor Carter says. And you won't go wrong being an extra safe about things, having some separation. You won't go wrong. A lot of times people go wrong because they get so close to the world and then they end up falling over that line and end up, you know, you say a landmark here, you know, why do we wear dresses or why do we have these standards? It's because Pastor Parsons wants to stay as far away from that liberal line as possible. And he doesn't want to fall over that line and go into the liberalism. And, you know, he wants to stay on the straight and narrow. And so, you know, there's people that are stumbling around. Many saved people stumble around because they refuse to walk in the light. You know, their families are a mess. You know, sometimes, you know, you can raise your kids right and they turn out to be prodigals. But sometimes, you know, it's because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not walking in the light. You know, we got to walk in the light in our homes as well. And your kids need to see what you have is real. And we need to walk in the light of the Word. Do you want wisdom? Walk in the light. That's the promise from God, you know, He's the light of the world. Let's go back to John chapter 8, verse 12 real quick. John chapter 8, verse 12. You know, don't walk in darkness, walk in the light. John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, follow Jesus. You know, follow the Lord. Follow His leading. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 12, it's, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, you want to have light for your life? Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be rebellious. Don't be rebellious against the Lord. Don't be rebellious against your parents. Don't be rebellious against your pastor. And You know, our country is in darkness because they have rejected the truth. You know, they rejected God's word. They mock God's word. And there are basic solutions that would fix things, but they're so far away from God that they make everything complicated. Pastor Carter calls them the talking heads. They're always talking and talking, never come to any good solutions. But you know, why is our country such a mess? Because we've gotten away from the light of the word, God's word. That's why. And there's so many simple solutions that we can implement in our lives and in our country that would solve a lot of things, a lot of problems. And when people get away from God, everything becomes complicated. Their lives become complicated, and they can't find any answers to their problems. And but God, the solutions are found in God's word. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. You know, don't be wicked, okay? Follow the Lord. It'll be good, great. It's great. God will give you light. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, it says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You know, we need the light of the word. Do you want your marriage to be right? You must follow the Bible. You know, you can't have a good marriage by ignoring the Bible. You got to follow the Bible. You know, the Bible says the man's supposed to be the leader of the home, the spiritual leader. So you can't be domineering and, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this. Try to run the home. You got to let him wear the pants. You know, why do so many people split up? Because, you know, they won't. The woman a lot of times won't let the man wear the pants. Or the man won't be the leader that he's supposed to be. Causes problems. That's just one illustration of how you got to follow the word of God so that you'll have a good marriage. You got to follow the Bible. And, can't reject what the word says. You know, you can't reject what the preacher says. You know, you need to listen to what the preacher has to say and follow it. You know, a lot of times we get mad because the preacher hits on something that we're doing. You know, but if you're doing it and it's not right, then get it right with God. It's that simple. And if it's making you mad, it's hitting a sore spot in your life. And it's hitting a nerve because you know it's true and you're doing wrong. So get it right. And the Word of God, the Bible tells us that it's like a glass. We're not supposed to be forgetful hearers, but doers of the Word, you know. When the Word of God is preached and it hits a nerve, you're not supposed to forget about it. You're supposed to use the altar. Right here, that's what this is for. Get it right, get it fixed right away. You know, acknowledge it before God. If you don't acknowledge it and confess it, how are you supposed to get it right with God? But don't reject the truth. Love God. I hope I'm not being too long-winded, but let's go to Matthew chapter 23. God wants you to love Him. Love Him. You know, why are people repulsed by the light? Because they love their sin. They love wickedness, you know. Why do Christians, you know, get mad or get out of church or reject the truth, don't want to walk in the light? Because they're in love with the world. And your love life's wrong. And you need to get your love life right. And you're worldly, okay? I'll just say it. You're worldly. I've been worldly too. Once, you know, we all struggle sometimes with that. But God wants us to get right. Confess it. Realize that he's supposed to be number one in your life. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39 says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, you know, the first and great commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You know, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And, you know, why do we reject the truth, the light of God's word? Why do we reject it? Because we love the world a lot of times. And we don't love God the way we should. And, you know, God does not want us to walk in darkness like we were doing before we were saved. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. God wants us to walk in the light. Ephesians 5, 8. It says, God wants us to walk in the light now. It says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There's another verse I can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. You can write it down. You can look at it yourself when you have some time. But, you know, God wants us to walk as children of light. And the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 15, If you love me, keep my commandments. We demonstrate our love by obedience. And somebody said, talk is cheap. There's tons of religious people out there that say, I love the Lord, but their lives don't show it. So God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Demonstrate it. Demonstrate your love by obedience. And, you know, God is going to ask you to do some things. If you walk in the light, he's going to say, change the way you talk. You dress, the places you go, the things you watch, the things you do. He's even going to ask you to be separated. Separation is a good thing. And he's going to ask you to do some of those things. And if you're walking in the light, you'll be like, okay, Lord, you know, you'll be excited because you want to grow some more. And growth is good. And, you know, when we love the world, it causes us to go into darkness. You know, it causes us to backtrack, get backslidden. And, you know, did you know that some Christians are more concerned about being accepted by the world than being accepted by God? And, you know, we need to be careful about this. You know, they're in darkness. Why are you trying to please people that are living in darkness for? You have the light of the world, Jesus. You know, if they think you're crazy, are you going to listen to a bunch of blind people that are walking in darkness? You shouldn't be. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter, I'll read the shortest verse I got. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. You know, we should be more concerned about what God thinks. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Apostle Paul said this. Said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You know, the world should be dead to us. And we should, you know, if you got a pen, write down 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. And talks about how Apostle Paul was doing what he was doing to be accepted of God, you know, That's what we should be striving for, to be accepted of Him, not of this world. You know, when we love the world, we don't want to love God. We don't want to obey and serve God. We don't want to obey the light. And let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, real quick. So, you need to get your love right. You need to get your love right. You know, if you find yourself getting mad about this message or any other message, it's because your love's not right. You know, it's that simple. You love the wrong things. You don't love the Lord, you know. In 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So, the love for the world steals away your love for God. You need to get your eyes off the world and put them on the Lord. And have a singleness of heart. A singleness of heart. You say, where'd you get that from? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. I'll show you. Glad you asked. Matthew chapter 6. We got to have got to get our eyes off the world. And, you know, we need to confess it and say, Lord, forgive me for being worldly, loving the world. You know, we have to work. We've got to have jobs. Got to take care of our families. But, you know, the Lord should be first in our lives, not material possessions. And we shouldn't be materialistic. And our desire should be to serve the Lord and put Him first in our lives. Matthew chapter 16, 22 through 29, it says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" But you know, I'm not going to read all that, but the Bible says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You know, we fixate on what we love. We put our focus on what we love. You know, if you love money, that's what you put your eyes on. You know, our eyes follow. Somebody said our eyes follow our heart, or something like that, or our heart follows our eyes. So you know, if you don't have a singleness of heart, a singleness of eye, that says I want to serve God, I want God to be first, and you put other things before God, Your life's going to fill up with darkness. And there's plenty of Christians that their lives have gotten filled up with darkness because they put things before God. They have idols. And they don't have a singleness of heart, a singleness of eye. And their focus is not on the Lord and serving Him. You know, you can serve the Lord even as a church member. You can serve the Lord as a business person. You can serve the Lord as a city worker. You know, God might have put you there to be a witness, but you can serve God wherever you are. You don't have to be a pastor to serve God. You know, the church needs people that are all serving the Lord. Not just the pastor, he serves the Lord, but us as church members, we need to be serving God. Realize we are servants of God. And we should put God first. And as we work, you know, at our jobs, we need to realize that God has put us there for a reason. You know, He wants us to take care of our families, but He also wants us to be a light. And He wants us to have singleness of eye, singleness of heart. And if you'll keep that singleness of heart and have a heart that says, I want to serve God, you're going to walk in the light. Does that make any sense? And so you need to put your focus on the Lord. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, keep your eyes on the Lord. Realize that this world is just temporary. And you need to realize that heaven is our home. We're supposed to lay up treasures in heaven. And have faith enough to say, I'm going to live for Jesus in this world. I'm going to walk in the light. And the Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Let's go there. 1 John chapter 2. And 1 John chapter 2. You know, nothing's worth that sweet walk with the Lord. Nothing this world, you know, we were created to have fellowship with him. And nothing this world has to offer can compare to having that sweet fellowship with Jesus. Nothing can give you fulfillment like that walking in the light can. You know, but saved people, they try to fill their lives with other things, and it's not fulfilling. But if you'll walk in the light, walk with Jesus every day and follow the Lord, you're going to find fulfillment and meaning. And life will be fulfilling. You know, are you saved and your life just is not fulfilling? Well, if you have that problem, it's because probably not putting him first. You're not following the Lord. Maybe the Lord wants you to be a soul winner. You know, he wants you to read your Bible the way you should. He wants you to talk to him the way you should. If you'll start doing that, you'll find that, man, you'll find fulfillment in doing those things, walking with God. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it says, wait a minute, that's not the one that I was looking for. I apologize. It's the one about, maybe it is. No, it ain't. So we got to find the one that I was trying to get. If we confess our sins, what is it? 1 John 1, 9. Thank you. 1 John 1, 9. We'll back it up to verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, when we lie to ourselves and we say there's nothing wrong, you know, he can't cleanse us. He can't clean us up. But the Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You know, if you want to have fellowship with the Lord, you got to walk in the light. You got to confess your sins so you can walk in the light. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we got to walk in the light if we're going to have fellowship with him. And if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So, you know, God wants us to walk in the light. And walk in the light. You know, have you been rejecting truth? Have you been rebellious? Have you been resisting God? Have you been putting other things first? How's your love life? Is your love life right? Is the Lord first in your life? You know, if not, we're going to have the invitation, and you can come get that settled and get right with God. You know, if you're not saved and you've been running from God, you know, you can get that settled tonight too. Somebody can show you from the Word of God how to be saved. And God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, you know. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die for us. He rose again the third day. And he wants you to get saved if you're not saved. But I'm going to pray. We're going to stand to our feet. We'll pray. And then I'll give it over to Brother Pastor Parsons. So, hope that was a blessing to you. But I'm going to pray. And I'll hand it over to Pastor Parsons. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to walk in the light. Dear Lord, help this message to be a blessing, dear Lord, and help us to realize that fulfillment and peace comes from obeying you and putting you first. Dear Lord, I'm sure there's people here that need to get right and start following you the way they should. Dear Lord, just speak to hearts. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name. Brother.
Tonight, if we say we have not sinned, who are we deceiving? Ourselves. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. The opportunity tonight is to get it right. And the altar is going to be open for you in just a minute. But just let me say this. If you're here without Jesus Christ and you think, I'm okay, and you think, my good works will outweigh my bad, I'm all right, you're deceiving yourselves. Your sins will take you to a devil's hell. But tonight, let me tell you, Jesus came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid your sin debt. And you can accept him and you can confess your sins and tell him, Lord, I want what you did for me. I want your payment you made on Calvary to pay my sin debt. Boy, there are so many people that headed into 2025 deceiving themselves and thinking they're okay because they're living inside their own works. But it's only the works of Jesus Christ that'll pay for all sin. Tonight, if you're here and you're lost, you don't know Christ as your Savior, let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're one of God's people and your relationship with the Lord isn't right, don't go another day. Confess your sins. Come and speak to Him about it. Get back that one-on-one time. Boy, what a year you could have if you just get it right at the beginning. As Brother Bert sings, would you step out and come?
I have.